session with Mr. Mas Shono, who is an ex-resident of Terminal Island community in East San Pedro area. And this will be part of Terminal Island Research Project, and mainly it will be the topic of Terminal Island family and family life. Okay. Mas, could you tell me how many people you had in your family? Older brother, older sister, younger brother, younger sister.
There were 8 of us. One older sister, one younger sister, and 5 younger brothers.
5 younger brothers? Wow, that's a good size. What did your parents do?
My parents were commercial fishermen. My father was the skipper of a pearl seiner boat, crew of 12. Usually fished according to season, you know. If it's summer, it's usually albacore or bluefin or yellowfin tuna. Mm-hmm. And during the winter months, it would be sardine, mackerel, and
sardines,
and Spanish mackerel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he owned the boat and...
No, he chartered the boat.
He chartered the boat. Did you guys work on the boats at all?
Well, you know, we used to go during the summer, maybe, but because my father was a skipper, you know, he was at school. But
yeah, summer job.
My father was, first, when he came to America, you know, he used to fish for my grandfather, you know, he had 2 boats, so, you know, so he spent most of his fishing life, you know, fishing for my grandfather, you know.
Oh, so he knew about fishing and all that, huh? I mean,
well, he was the youngest skipper at that time, I think. When he was 21, he became skipper.
Jeez.
See, you have to go back to, you know, see, after he graduated from the school, you know, like, I think he was 14 when he graduated, you know, that grammar school.
Grammar school.
Yeah. Okay. Then he took training to go and apprentice as a seaman.
Oh, uh-huh.
Working for, you know, in Japan, you know, the schooners, you know.
Right, uh-huh. The big boats.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he had 2 years, you know, he for 5 yen a year. he had to go through all the, you know, ropes of learning all the sea trade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after he finished that, he says he went all over Southeast Asia. Travel going, you know, in China, you know. Worked for places like British colonies, you know.
Oh, uh-huh. So,
you know, skippering boats until he was 21.
Mm-hmm.
He came back. And then he was excused from the military service because at that time there was no war.
Right. Uh-huh.
So he got on this coast as you know, got on one of those ships and immigrated to America. You know.
Mm-hmm. I see.
He jumped ship in Portland, I think. No, Tacoma, Washington. I mean.
Tacoma. Oh. So, like, he didn't have any papers and all.
Yeah, no. He jumped ship with 12 other guys, you know, including himself.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And he hid out in the hills for a while until they got hungry, and then they came out to town. You know. They split up in pairs, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, how did he happen to end up in Terminal Island?
Well, he had an older brother, and that's why he had to work himself into Terminal Island, you know. And then he came to Terminal Island and he started fishing, you know.
Uh-huh.
First he started with his brother, you know, I think. And then after he got married, you know, then he started fishing for his father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. So it was something that he wasn't unfamiliar with. He knew a lot of things about fishing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. He came from a fishing village in Tommy, huh?
Oh, he did. He's a fisherman. How about your mom's side of the family?
She's from Tanami too.
Oh, she's from Tanami?
Mm-hmm.
Gee. Did they get married?
In Japan? No. He got married here.
Here, huh? Uh-huh. And how about when were you guys born?
My sister was born about 1920. 27, I think.
27?
I was born 29.
A lot of Japanese American children were born. I mean, the Niseis were born in the 20s.
Yeah.
20s and early 30s.
Mm. In Terminal Island.
Right,
yeah.
In Terminal Island. How about schooling? What did you guys do?
Oh, it's, we had to go to both American school and Japanese school, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, I went through all the grammar school ever since first grade, you know, kindergarten on up to sixth grade, you know.
Sixth grade.
at Terminal Island, Wallace School there.
Well, you guys had a school in Terminal Island.
Yeah, we had grammar school there, and junior high school was in San Pedro, Dana, you know, everyone went to Dana.
Uh-huh.
Then San Pedro High School, you know.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
What did you think of American school?
Oh.
Was it hard for you?
Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, the traumatic effect. I remember the first day in school. I hated to go because, you know, I didn't know him, you know. So I went with my neighbor, a girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were a little older. Some of them were a little older, so they took us. God, I was afraid, deathly afraid of that kindergarten teacher, though. And besides that, I couldn't communicate, you know. And I remember I had to go to the bathroom there. God, I couldn't even say I wanted to go to the bathroom, you know. And I'd be rescued. Everybody be sleeping, and I really had to go, and I didn't know what to do. It's, well, you know, pretty soon I couldn't hold it any longer, so I just let it go, you know. And I get all wet, you know, and come home all dragging out, you know. My mom said, gee, whatever. She said, baka. Well, we say something wrong, you know. I remember, you know, that teacher used to wash her mouth with soap and water.
Oh, really? Gee. I guess back then, through your first language is Nihongo.
Yeah, Nihongo. We didn't understand English. So, yeah. Headache, but I mean, all the students, you know, you gotta imagine this now, you know. All my classmates were all Japanese. We spoke nothing but Japanese, you
mm-hmm.
know. And English was foreign as I was to go to Russia and try to speak Russian, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, gee, didn't the teacher say anything? Teacher probably wanted you to learn English, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of those teachers, they understood Japanese, you know.
Did they?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them, you know.
They're Hakujins, right?
They're Hakujins, but, you know, some of them, they knew, you know, Japanese. I guess they've been teaching there for years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they knew a lot of phrases. And, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were special teachers. They knew Japanese, too, I think.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And
did you have any courses you liked, or anything you had special interest in?
Well, let's see. Only thing I used to look forward to is the playbird.
See,
I don't remember anything particularly as far as studies. You know how grammar schools are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we learned our math. I remember I had a heck of a time in communications. I couldn't seem to understand. I remember I failed the first grade, you know. I had to stay back.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't comprehend their language.
Mm-hmm.
Barrier.
How about things like in math where you don't need language? Math,
well, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. affected my, you know, because I couldn't understand their reading problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even, well, you know, I guess maybe addition or something like that would be all right. But if it involved a little bit of reading, I used to twist my head.
where did you guys get after school?
Oh, we had to go to Japanese school too.
Oh.
So every day we had to go 2 hours a day, I think. See, after school from about, see, the school let out maybe about 2:30 or 3, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
2:30, and then from 3 to 5, I think it was.
Somewhere around there.
We either went to Christian Japanese school or Buddhist Japanese school.
Oh, right.
There's two Japanese schools, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like myself, I went to a Japanese school from the Buddhist side. Yeah, Buddhist. And then in the evening, I had to go, I think, twice a week or three times a week on judo. I think twice a week.
Judo?
Yeah. So, you know, between that, I think, you know, just like Japan, you know, they reinforced the Japanese school, and then everything was spoken in Japanese at judo or kendo, whoever, you know, most people either took judo or kendo.
Uh-huh.
And then on Sunday school, you know, it was some of them were given in Japanese, you know.
Uh-huh. Right. Gee, you had a busy day, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it was full from morning to evening.
Yeah, except during the summer, you know, on the vacation times. Mm-hmm. And during those times, you know, we either play baseball, football, or anything to do with free, you know. Imagine that game, like, we used to play, you know, like the American kids probably play cops and robbers. We still remember we used to play samurai, you know. We would make a sword out of a wooden stick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We either carve it or something, you know, make a facsimile of a sword, you know.
Uh-huh.
And naturally, everybody had their own name, you know, like Tange something or Toyotomi. We have a whole group, you know, Kirai, you know, Taisho and Kobun and but then we used to play, you know, like for instance, we'd be influenced by watching these Japanese movies. You know, they used to have movies come to Terminal 9 in the hall.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
Whenever the movies play, well, like if they had Goni no Sekohei, you know, like the army movies or something like that, then we'd be influenced and playing that, and some older guys would be the Taisho or General or something like that. And we'd go out in the field, you know, there used to be a field right by the second beach around there, you know, first beach around there. And we used to have our own caves and what we call clubhouse, you know, we dig our cave, you know, then cover it with boards and tin, you know, and then cover and sand, you know, cardboard, and we have our own rules, you know, we have our passwords. And then the other games like we would play would be things like, I remember we never spent money in games for entertainment, per se, you know, like today's kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had to rely on, you know, you got to remember, we were brought up during the Depression era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a penny was a penny, you know. And so, even for a penny, you know, you couldn't ask, you know, mom to give you that penny. So, all we do is, every one of us were, you know, kind of a same situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the economics was, the price of sardine, 1 ton was at that time, $4 or $5 a ton, you know, at the low ebb of the, you know, say during 1930, early 30, 1, 2, 3, you know,
mm-hmm.
around there, you know.
Uh-huh.
See, 2,000 pounds of fish were $4. And so you can just imagine the value of that money was very, and then they were limited, you know, it wasn't such thing as a unlimited amount that you can bring in, you know, every year, you know, they can only process so much fish, and you know, so they limit you, you know, to a load that you can bring in. Say, if you had a limit of say 20 ton or 30 ton,
mm-hmm.
if anything over that, you know, you didn't get paid for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, in another word, a tanner would get a, if you loaded say 35 ton instead of 30, and a lot of guys don't want to go short, so they always bring long, you know.
Oh,
extra, a little extra, you know, that's a little extra that can be exploit them in that sense, you know.
And so they take the rest of
yeah.
500 pounds?
Yeah, and then a lot of times their skill were, you know, open, you know, and they try to always exploit the fishermen always, you know, by taking more than, you know, the exact 2,000 pound, you know, ton. But now, you know, the state, even then, you know, they try to chisel the, you know, scales.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, you know, even. Well, anyway. Getting back to playing, well, we used to play with imaginary game, like capture the flag. You know, you have to have maybe 6 flags or something mm-hmm. per side. You know, you choose up sides.
Mm-hmm.
Say, these type of game, both boys and girls can play, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have a borderline, and whoever leaves that border mm-hmm. Last has more power, authority on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, if you're on my opposing team, and you came out first, and you're trying to provoke me, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I try to chase you. Then the other guy, your teammate, who has more fresh, you know, power over me,
mm-hmm.
if he tags me, then I'll be the prisoner of your team. See?
Oh, right. Yeah.
But then there's a prison, you know, on your side of the section, you know, in the corner, you know, there's a mic. And you have to stay on the borderline, you know, boundary line.
Right.
So in other words, if I want to save you, release you, only way is by touching your hand, I can come in and, you know, touch it, and then I release you.
Run back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then you're neutral, you know, until you come back.
You're actually a prisoner back.
Yeah. Then in the meantime, you're supposed to capture their opponent's flag. You know, you have, say, 6 flags.
Mm-hmm.
6 stick, there's a special box, and there's always a guard there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in the time that you capture the prisoner, then they have less players than you, while you got more chance of capturing their flags, you understand?
Uh-huh.
It's between trying to save your members, or buddies, or your teammates,
uh-huh.
and you know, all the chaos that's going on, you know, that you got to, at the same time, try to honor your flag, you know, or guard your flag.
Right.
Or that was one form. I remember I used to love that game.
Was that one of your favorites?
Yeah, I used to like that game, and then playing maybe Samurai, you know, we divided into groups, you know, and then, we have, you know, if you get cut, you know, you're dead or you're wounded or, you know.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's kind of a rough game, though.
Yeah, I know in Japan we used to do that. I used to have about 4 or 5 Samurai
yeah. swords
made out of stick.
Yeah.
So playing.
And,
we didn't get hurt.
I know. And we used to play rubber fights, you know, we could make a slingshot out of a rubber band, you know, and we tie it to our fingers, you know, and then we make bullets on a paper wad, you know, newspaper or something like that, old newspaper, and we fold it